You may never have heard of Lee Miller. That happens to a lot of incredibly talented lovers of famous men. Born in 1907 in Poughkeepsie, New York, Lee Miller became a successful model for Vogue while in her teens. Soon after, up and moved to Paris, into the opium dens and jazz clubs of the surrealist scene, into the arms of the much older famed photographer Man Ray, first his assistant, then muse, then lover, all along dulling the memory of a childhood rape with drugs and alcohol, while trying to sharpen her own passion for photography. After Man Ray and Lee Miller emotionally cannibalized each other, she launched her own career as a studio photographer, then an accredited war correspondent who was there when camps were liberated, took a bath in Hitler's tub, then later became a cordon bleu chef. All amazing, considering how much she drank to hold the darkness at bay. First-time author Whitney Sherr tells Lee Miller's story in what the Boston Globe calls a dazzling seven-figure debut novel, an absolutely gorgeous and feminist novel about art, love, and ownership, a work of art in itself. The book is called The Age of Light, and Whitney Sherr joins us in the studio. And we just want to set some ground rules here. You imagine whole storylines and conversations between Lee Miller and Man Ray.
Yes, right? I do.
But it's all pretty much based in truth. Lee Miller was raped by a family friend she called uncle at the age of seven. She got a venereal disease. Her father did inappropriately take nude photos of her. She was a famous model. She was Man Ray's lover. She was a war correspondent in the thick of things and the front lines. All true.
Yeah, I started with all of the biographical details that I could learn about Lee, and I hewed to those as much as I could. And certainly certain scenes are heavily fictionalized, but in all cases, I really felt like I wanted to stay true to who she was as a woman.
Did she really, in Paris, play a role in one of Jean Cocteau's films?
She did. She was in Blood of a Poet, which was one of his earliest films, and I believe is still taught in film school today, and you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Well, you spent 2 years researching her.
I did.
Before you wrote this. As you peeled back this onion, were you as amazed as we are?
Absolutely. So I was initially drawn to her confidence and ambition. I just found her to be this incredibly modern woman who moved alone to Paris, and I thought it was just so fascinating that she did that. But as I learned about her, what I was most taken with was this fragility that was underneath the surface of her confidence that came from all of these traumas that she endured in childhood and all of the subsequent objectifications by men, her father, fashion photographers, Man Ray. And that, I think, is what makes her such a complex and interesting character.
And one of the wonderful things is when we get to the end of your book, you direct us to others about her nonfiction books, which we're going to run to. You mentioned Man Ray. He obviously, and all the men in her life, would say they loved her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, what is true about their photography? And by the way, you have one of the most sensual scenes. I mean, this is going to replace the ghost scene where they make a pot together. This is when Man Ray brings his then assistant Lee Miller into this dark room to teach her how to develop film. And there they are in the dark. She feels man behind her, but cannot see him. His hand hovers over hers, heat radiating off his skin. I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
But she does become this photographer. We see she has talent, mm-hmm. and it's something she can control rather than being the object. But you also make the case that she discovered something called solarization. This is a technique that changes light tones into dark ones, reverses everything. When a mouse runs over her foot and she accidentally turns a light on, others have said they discovered it together.
Yeah, so this is a fascinating story and was, I mean, there was so much about Lee Miller that I found so intriguing, mm-hmm. but she tended to mythologize her life in later interviews. And so the scene that she describes in an interview, I think in 1976, the year before she died, and she talks about this exact thing happening. Is it true? I don't know. You know, it's a story she told, and I don't know if it's her just trying to kind of make a legend out of her past. But if that's the case, I find that interesting too.
Well, but is it true that he might have taken some of her work and entered it, you know, as his own?
So they were constantly writing their names on prints that the other made, and both of them were quoted as saying, oh, it didn't matter who took the pictures. We were working so closely together in the darkroom that his work could have been my work and her work could have been his work. That's all well and good, except that Man Ray was the one who was getting most of the credit for that work,
right.
Which I think is a little problematic.
Well, and you dive into that vein. I mean, did she express that she felt that she could not get out from behind his fame?
She did. She became more and more frustrated throughout their relationship, both by being eclipsed by him and also by his increasing jealousy. You know, he talked about how he wanted her to be young and free, and what he really wanted was for her to commit to being with him for the rest of her life, which she wasn't prepared to do.
Right. We know she has another relationship because it's alluded to throughout. Mm-hmm. Again, we direct you to biographies of her, but she was a war correspondent.
Yes.
And did team up with a life photographer, Dave Sherman, and did take a famous picture, took all of her clothes off when they got into Hitler's home after he died, and climbed into the bathtub and took a bath in Hitler's tub.
She did do that. Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
It is.
Can you imagine?
And also, when we think of the time this is in, she's one of the few female correspondents. There were others. Given that she was, we know she's broken. We know this is, as a young woman, as a teenager, she's broken. We see the effect of the childhood trauma, the effect it's had on her. It's kind of amazing that she did anything that she did with that big a break.
Yeah, it's true. I think that the war was this final trauma that came on top of all of these other traumas that she'd experienced in her childhood and in Paris, too. And you know, after the war, she did try to continue doing photography for a while. She moved back to England and was still working as a correspondent for Vogue. But it kept getting harder and harder for her to do it. And eventually, she actually boxed up all of her negatives and photographs and literally hauled them up to her attic and never talked about them. Mm. So she had one child, her son, Anthony Penrose. He wasn't even aware that his mother was a photographer until practically the time of her death.
Really?
Yeah. She just never, ever spoke about it.
But
isn't that wild?
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
And in fact, when we meet her in your book towards the end.
Yeah.
We meet her as a frumpy kind of, she's a hot mess, living in the countryside, bottles stashed everywhere, trying to calm her nerves to have a dinner party. She does pull off an amazing 7-course meal, gourmet chef, but she's lost her looks. It's such a sad story.
It is a sad story. And I think she was such a creative person that once she gave up photography, you know, she then threw all of that creativity into cooking. But she was suffering from undiagnosed PTSD. She was an alcoholic. She was probably clinically depressed. And she was just a woman who she had such ambition and such potential. And then you kind of see her life narrow at the end.
It does feel as if she does have something of a resurgence that she gets to see. There are shows of her work and his work together, and you write about them potentially meeting up decades after their affair. Do we know what's true about that?
Yeah. In real life, Lee Miller and Man Ray had this tempestuous relationship for about 3 years. They completely lost touch because their breakup was very painful and terrible for both of them. She moved to New York City and opened her own photography studio there, and then did a bunch of other things. She married an Egyptian man, moved to Egypt, all sorts of stuff. But right after World War II, she and Man Ray reconnected. They didn't see each other very often. By that point, he was living in Los Angeles. She was living in London. But they corresponded by letter, and Man Ray sent her gifts. And then at the end of their lives, there was a retrospective of Man Ray's work. And I believe Lee was asked to speak at that. In any case, she went there and met up with Man Ray. And there's this amazing story that I had wanted to include in my book, but it didn't end up fitting. But where they found each other at the exhibit. And apparently there was this giant cardboard storage tube lying on its side that I guess a sculpture had been sent in or something. And Man Ray, old, infirm, crawled in one end of it and shouted for Lee to crawl in the other end, and then they met in the middle. I just find that so beautiful.
Yeah. Comforting.
Yeah.
And how about as a woman yourself and an artist writing your first book?
Yeah.
What kind of emotions did you go through reading about what happened to her?
I found myself at first feeling like Lee and I were not very similar because she was this beautiful model who seemed to, you know, on the surface seemed to have this perfect life in many ways. And then as I got to know her and I realized actually it wasn't perfect, that she had experienced this trauma in her past, I haven't had that happen to me either. But as I was thinking about her so deeply over these years, what I did really connect to with her was her artistic journey. And as a woman writer, I have spent my whole life not feeling able to call myself a writer until now that I have this book coming out. And I think that that's something that women writers and artists experience all the time, that we don't feel like we sort of deserve to take the space to make our art. I'm not sure why that is, but I definitely felt that, and other women writers that I know feel it as well. And so I really connected with Lee very deeply in her desire to make space for her own work.
Yeah. Oh, it's a terrific book. The Age of Light, Whitney Sharr, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
And we're going to have some links to photographs at hereandnow.org, one, an archive of Lee Miller's work and other pictures. We'll also have an excerpt of The Age of Light.